broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Radio for patriots by patriots. At our website, philhendryshow.com.
You did all that with a mouthful of Coca-Cola, man.
I did it all with a mouthful of Diet Coca-Cola.
Yeah, it's Diet. All right.
Anyway, welcome. It's the beginning of the week. Next week, we're on vacation again for a week. I'm in Toronto, Canada, to visit my relatives that I ain't seen in a long time. I'll let you know how that is. We'll be updating the website with photographs and with, video footage, and I don't know what. We'll update the website from Canada, that's for sure. Let you know how things are going from there. And a few announcements we're going to be making throughout the summer. We have as I mentioned to my subscribers last week, and I mentioned this during the video feed last week, I might as well mention it on the air. I'm going to be in Judd Apatow's next film. We're filming a scene at the end of July. New movie called, what is it called, man? This is 40, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like Here's 40.
No, it ain't Here's 40. This is 40. So that's coming up in some other announcements. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as well, our number 877-876-PHIL. You can visit us at Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhendry. Bobby Dooley and Doug Danger and Chris Norton. A lot of people have accounts over there. Ted's of Beverly Hills is over there, Ted Beverly Hills. And, of course, millions and millions of copycats, monkey see, monkey do, people that want to be me and can't be me. So you're going to have to wade through all of that garbage. But you'll know our stuff as opposed to theirs. Ours is the funny stuff. Now, speaking of funny, slaves and freedmen spied on the South during the Civil War, Robert.
Yeah, I knew about that. They're letting little by little information coming out to the 150th anniversary, you know.
The 150th anniversary of the beginning of the Civil War. In the Confederate circles he navigated, John Scobell was considered just another Mississippi slave, singing, shuffling, illiterate, and completely ignorant of the Civil War going on around him. Confederate officers thought nothing of leaving important documents where Scobell could see them or discussing troop movements in front of him. Whom would he tell? Scobell was only the butler or the deckhand on a rebel sympathizer steamboat or the field hand belting out Negro spirituals in a powerful baritone. Well, guess what?
He's a spy?
In reality, Scobell was not a slave at all. He was a spy sent by the Union Army, one of the few black operatives who quietly gathered information in a high-stakes game of cat and mouse with Confederate spy catchers and slave masters who could kill them on the spot. That was one of the things that, of course, has been brought out, and people should know. Any black man in the service of the Union Army, any black man caught in the service of the United States government in any way, shape, or form in the South by the Confederacy would be shot on the spot, killed on the spot. No trial, no nothing. So this man, John Scobell, was in fact a spy. These unsung Civil War heroes were often successful to the chagrin of Confederate leaders who never thought their disregard for blacks living among them would become a major tactical weakness. General Robert E. Lee, commander of the Confederate Army, said in May of 1863, "The chief source of information to the enemy is through our Negroes." Little is known about the black men and women who served as Union intelligence officers, other than the fact that some were former slaves or servants who escaped from their masters, and others were Northerners who volunteered to pose as slaves to spy on the Confederacy.
What do you mean, Northerners?
Black people born in the North, freed men who traveled to the North.
What's a freed man? He bought his freedom.
Bought their freedom, yeah. Bought their freedom. There are scant references to their contributions in historical records, mainly because Union spy masters destroyed documents to shield them from Confederate soldiers and sympathizers during the war and vengeful whites afterward. These kinds of spies and operatives come up over and over again, many of them unnamed, and rarely do they receive glory, said Harry Jones, curator of the African American Civil War Museum in Washington, D.C., who lectures on the Civil War's African American spies. That'd be a very interesting lecture to attend, don't you think?
Well, I mean, so they're like, what were they doing, like step and fetch it?
What do you mean step and fetch it?
Well, they like shuffling around, right?
Well, I don't know if they were shuffling around. In the eyes of the Southern plantation owners and Southern and the Confederate military intelligentsia, such as it was, and whoever they worked for, they were just butlers and they were slaves. And, of course, the attitude was they were not smart enough to understand what they were hearing. They weren't intelligent enough to understand. And as you just heard, it was a major, quote, tactical weakness that even Robert E. Lee recognized. Jones and other experts are hoping the 150th anniversary of the Civil War will include some measure of remembrance for these officers, some of whom are included in exhibitions at the African American Civil War Museum's new facility, which will hold its grand opening on July 16th to the 18th. Alan Pinkerton, you know that name, bud?
No.
Pinkerton Detectives?
I heard about them in that Butch Cassidy movie you made us watch.
What do you mean the Butch Cassidy movie I made you watch?
We didn't want to watch it. You made us.
I had it on. You guys wanted to sit and watch it. Alan Pinkerton, head of the Union Intelligence Service at the onset of the Civil War, detailed the recruitment of black spies in his autobiography, including a couple of successful missions by Scobell and the extraction of valuable papers from a Union defector. Scobell in particular, Pinkerton said, was a cool-headed vigilante detective who easily duped the Confederates around him by assuming the character of the light-hearted, happy darkie.
So he didn't pretend like he's some dumbass.
Exactly. And those Confederates lapped it up. You know, because as far as they were concerned, that's where that was at. Harriet Tubman is the most recognizable of these spies, sneaking down south repeatedly to gather intelligence for the Union Army while also leading runaway slaves to freedom through the Underground Railroad. Often disguised as a field hand or a poor farm wife, she led several spy missions into South Carolina while directing others from Union lines. Another spy, Mary Elizabeth Bowser, was born a slave to the Van Loo family, who freed her and sent her to school. Bowser then returned to Richmond, where Elizabeth Van Loo was running one of the war's most sophisticated spy rings. Somehow, Van Loo got Bowser a job inside the Confederate White House as a housekeeper. Holy God!
Who's that?
Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy, and the people that used to own this woman. Now she's free. She comes back.
That's a hell of a way to repay him.
Oh, what difference does it make?
Oh, yeah, man. Like he owes them something? Well, they freed her and everything.
It doesn't make any difference, bud. These are bigger issues, man. Thank you for freeing me, but you know what? I shouldn't have been a slave in the first place.
Yeah, so she goes down there and she jacks them over.
Whatever. Anyway, so she gets a job in the Confederate White House as a housekeeper. Bowser then proceeded to sneak classified information out from under Confederate President Jefferson Davis's nose. According to the memoirs of Thomas McGivern, the Union sympathizer in Richmond, whose cover was that of a baker who delivered to the Confederate White House, Bowser, quote, had a photographic mind. Everything she saw on the rebel president's desk, she could repeat word for word. Unlike most colored, she could read and write. She made the point of always coming out to my wagon when I made deliveries at the Davis home to drop information. Stories about Bowser, who is also known as Ellen Bond, Mary Jones, or Mary Jane Richards, show up as early as May 1900 in Richmond newspapers, and her name was revealed in 1910 in an interview with Van Loo's niece, according to Elizabeth Varon, author of a book about Van Loo. This is why history, folks, is a great story. And this is why, if you don't read history, if you don't know anything about history, man, you don't know. Well, not only are you missing a great story, you're missing it. You're going to be further and further befuddled by life. There's no proof that Bowser existed beyond these recollections. Van Loo, like Pinkerton before her, requested that Union forces turn over all her intelligence records at the end of the Civil War and destroyed them, leaving no proof of her vast network. Jefferson Davis's wife, Verena, publicly denied that a black female spy could have infiltrated their White House. I'm sure Verena would not have wanted to admit that, now would she?
What's her name?
Verena Davis. She was the first lady of the Confederacy. But Veron's book suggests that Bowser's true name was Mary Richards. She survived the Civil War. She married a man named Garvin. Richards even writes in an 1867 letter that during the Civil War she was in the service as a detective.
What are you saying about Canada and everything?
About Canada?
Yeah, you said about Canada and the Confederate?
Well, Canada was where the Confederates operated Montreal was where the Confederate spy service operated, the CSS. That was the Confederacy's intelligence arm. And the Confederates had a very, very good network of spies and intelligence gathering agents, and they operated out of Montreal. And when I say they operated out of Montreal, that was the closest access they had to the Union. And as a matter of fact, out of Montreal, the Confederates launched a raid in upstate New York that was not very successful. But the very first instance, the very first recorded instance of biological, of bacteriological warfare that I believe is at least in North American annals, was instigated by the Confederacy. They sent blankets to Washington, D.C. that had been exposed to or otherwise had been in a smallpox ward. So these blankets theoretically were just soaked in smallpox, bacteria, virus, what have you. And they attempted to ship these smallpox-laden blankets to Washington. Now, I don't know what happened to them, but that fact was introduced as evidence in the trial of the individuals, the surviving people that assassinated Lincoln and tried to kill Secretary Seward.
That was John Wilkes Booth what done it.
There was a whole lot of guys involved, Bud. It wasn't just him. He got killed, but there was a few other guys, and they put them all on trial, and it was a real mess.
You know, they got a movie coming out about that Seward lady, man.
They got a Surratt, Mary Surratt. Yeah, they got a movie coming out about Mary Surratt, and the movie, I don't know the name of it, and they're going to try to have you believe that she was a poor, innocent woman. Bullcrap. That woman was a Confederate sympathizer. She had spies coming in and out of her house. She knew what was going on. She knew what the meetings were. She knew that they wanted to kidnap the president. I don't know whether she knew they wanted to assassinate him because the plans changed. The plan was originally to kidnap Lincoln. And the plan changed to assassinate Lincoln. And Mary Surratt knew everything that was going on, just like that mud jackass. So don't give me this stuff. What is this movie, anyway?
Some new movie that Robert, or whatever his name is.
Robert, whatever his name is.
Robert Redford. Who? Robert Redford.
Oh, that Jack. Who? Chase? Yeah, is it Robert Redford? Yes, as I thought. Thanks a lot, Redford. There's another piece of history you want to butcher alive. Don't worry about it, man. She was up to her ass in it, and despite what either Redford or Stone or any of these guys want to rewrite, you know, I'm just going to have to get my crayons out and rewrite it again.
Yeah, we'll have to recolor that coloring book.
I mean, I've all the indignant things. All right, so that's very interesting. That is the whole history of the African-American spy in the Civil War, and it is opening at the African-American Civil War Museum in Washington, D.C. It'd be a very cool summer to visit Washington, wouldn't it? A lot of things going on there, and there's more to the story. I wish I could read the whole thing to you, but we've got to move on. But the story of the John Scobell, one of the very many black spies in the Civil War. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and our website, philhendryshow.com. And coming up in our next segment, Lloyd Bonafide is going to be joining us to discuss an incident at his Father's Day celebrations having to do with barbecue that his son-in-law brought to the house. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Lloyd coming up.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Father's Day had a great many different things going on, a great many different celebrations. Lloyd Bonafide joining us. And how are you?
Yes, sir.
You're not doing too good, huh?
No, sir. I'm doing fine because I have the love of my family.
But beyond that...
Well, beyond that, you know, I can't do anything about what my daughter... My daughter married a man.
You all right?
Yes, sir. My daughter married this guy in 1992. They're going to be their 20th wedding anniversary. I didn't like him when I met him. I don't like him today. and I don't call him by his first name. I don't call him my son-in-law. All I call him is the man my daughter married. And that's the dignity that I give him. And the only thing he ever did was he did father my grandson that I love more than life itself.
Why do you not like this man?
I just don't like him. I think he's stupid. And he proved it yesterday when he came into my home with Korean barbecue. And I had spent 3 years.
You had spent 3 years...
in the... How many times have I told you...
You were 3 years in the Korean War.
Yes, sir. And he brings Korean barbecue in. Now, I know what you've told me. I know you've told me that Korean barbecue represents a kind of a cuisine that has nothing whatsoever to do with communism. Oh, boy.
Well, so why do you not take my word for these things? Why do you take this personally?
You were talking about Mongolian barbecue, I thought. And it was only later that you talked about Korean.
There's Mongolian barbecue and there's Korean barbecue, yes.
And I'd had the Mongolian barbecue. I don't like that either. Because Mongolia was part of China. China threw in with the Koreans. And there's no... You're not going to get me to like any of that bullhick.
Yeah?
You're not getting me to like any of the bull haircut barbecue. Why do you keep trying?
I'm not trying anything. You asked me what I thought of Korean barbecue, and I told you I thought Mongolian barbecue was better. Okay?
And then I tried Mongolian barbecue, and then I looked at a map.
And you found out Mongolia was effectively part of China?
Yes.
Maybe the next time you try barbecue, look at a map first.
And what's that supposed to mean?
I tell you what, you ought to try North Carolina barbecue, but you better look at a map first, make sure it's not in China.
You know something, Mr. Henry, just because you are...
You know what I'm saying? Make sure that North Carolina ain't in China or Korea before you try some of that North Carolina barbecue.
Because you happen to be on the broadcast radio station as...
You know, what are you bawling about, man?
I'm not bawling about anything. I told you I don't like that guy or anything about him. He comes into my home, paws at my daughter.
He's married to the woman since 1992.
I don't like him.
What is it about him you don't like? Just because he's dumb?
I don't like dumb, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta tell you what's dumb. What's dumb is eating barbecue, saying that you like it, then finding out it's Mongolian barbecue, and then checking a map and seeing where Mongolia is.
Yeah? What's dumb about that?
Well, I think it's dumb not to know where Mongolia is in the first place, especially a guy that's a veteran of the Korean War, a guy with all of this Chinese stuff on the brain.
Hey, whoa, there, sunshine. I don't have any Chinese stuff on the brain.
And I don't like being called Sunshine either, if you don't mind.
I don't have any Chinese stuff on the brain. I'm a Korean War veteran.
And I'm a Korean War veteran.
Oh, you want to play it like that, huh?
Your voice is cracking. You're bawling like a baby.
I'm not bawling like anything. I'm simply... Oh, my God. I'm trying to tell you that you would have sympathy.
I don't have sympathy for dumb. Do you understand, Lloyd? I don't have sympathy for dumb.
And why am I dumb?
Because any guy that goes into a apoplexy over the origin of barbecue, you got a problem with your son-in-law, you got a problem with your son-in-law. You don't want to call him your son-in-law, you don't want to call him this, that, or anything else, just the man your daughter married. I guess that's just what's going to have to happen. But for you to get all pissed off that I recommended Korean barbecue and then to force me to come up with something better, so I said Mongolian, you eat it, you like it.
Yes, I liked it, but not after I found out where it came from.
I mean, I've talked to some guys, you know, you want to call this guy dumb, you call him dumb, whatever you want to do. But I got to tell you something. I've never heard a guy say to me, boy, I sure do like that Mongolian barbecue. Let me check a map to see where Mongolia is, and then automatically not like it because it's close to China.
No. It's not close to China. It is China for all intents and purposes. The Chinese rule the roost in Mongolia, you ought to know that, which means they rule the barbecue. But I realize that sounds childish.
It doesn't sound childish, it sounds mentally diseased.
Say Say that again.
It sounds mental.
Brother, you better smile when you say that. Because...
No, I'm deadly serious.
I'll go back and I'll give it another try. Don't throw that out.
What are you giving another try to?
The Mongolian, not the Korean. Never. Never the Korean. The Mongolian, all right. Never. Never the Korean.
Boy, you're the second guy to cry on my show tonight.
Yeah, you'll be the third.
Phil Hendry.
Big deal.
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
At our website, philhendryshow.com, we're right now in every show, live streaming video on Phil TV in HD. There, if you are online right now, you will see the El Pacifico, the surf pounding against the jetty there. In the distance, the Channel Islands, where there was an earthquake last week, they tell me. I didn't feel it. I don't care. Although I will tell you one thing. Here in the El Pacifico, we're very used to having our sea lions around, man, and they ain't here this year. And I think that tsunami, I think that's what did it.
That's what scared them away.
I think any time water, anything happens, you know, they don't dig it. So I think they're over there. And if you take a look here again at this picture, in the distance, you'll see Anacapa Island there to the right. That's where those sea lions go, so... All right, the Casey Anthony trial, as you know, has been nothing short of extremely, extremely dramatic event, filled with every kind of falderall, every kind of crazy-ass story, every kind of screwball defense. Even the prosecuting attorneys, as good as they are, have been engaged in some rather nerve-wracking behavior. And Judge Perry today, Belvin Perry, who is this guy's a superstar. I'm telling you, this guy Perry.
That's all it is. Somebody want to put him on TV.
He ought to be one of those judges. The guy's a riot. He's very folksy, but he's very much in control of the courtroom. And he basically said to Baez, Jose Baez, and one of the prosecutors, Jeff Ashton, he said, you guys keep this up, I'm going to call a mistrial. If you keep screwing around. Belvin Perry scolded both the defense attorney, Jose Baez, and prosecutor Jeff Ashton today for their gamesmanship and repeated violations of court rules of evidence. I think we have some audio here from, I don't know if this is Judge Belvin Perry. Yeah, this is Judge, well, hold on for just a second. We've got Judge Belvin Perry here in a piece of audio that we pulled for today. And this is essentially the judge as he talks to, I think, both attorneys in this case.
Yes, there have been gamesmanship in this particular case. And it is quite evident there is a friction between attorneys. That is something that I guess the Florida Bar will deal with. And at the conclusion of this trial, this court will deal with violations which may or may not have occurred.
Perry even hinted at the possibility of a mistrial, saying he will exclude key witnesses for the defense if they continue to present surprise opinions that neither the judge nor the prosecution is aware of beforehand. Those exclusions could result in a mistrial on the grounds that the defendant, Casey Anthony, did not receive due process of law. Enough is enough, said Perry, and both sides need to be forewarned that exclusion, even at the price of having to do it all over again, which I don't think I will have to do it all over again because of repeated violations, exclusion might be the proper remedy if it continues. Before the trial, Perry issued rules that require each expert witness to submit a report with their opinion to both the prosecution and the defense. This gives each side the key points of every witness's testimony so that there are no surprises and each can effectively prepare their case.
Yeah, but that's not fair.
Why isn't it fair?
Well, you can't surprise them or anything.
It's not like surprise them, man. It's not like a war. The whole point of a trial is to find the truth. Okay? So no one's trying to, that's why the judge said you guys are engaged in gamesmanship as opposed to what your job should be as two attorneys, and that is uncovering the truth here. You guys are trying to just beat each other, and you're not trying to serve the interests of justice. And so, to serve the interests of justice, if you've got evidence, you share that evidence. If you have a expert witness that's coming along, that's going to be coming along, is going to be testifying, then you let people know exactly why that person's an expert and what they're an expert in, and you give them, you're supposed to do all of these things. These are the rules of evidence presented by, at least in the way that Judge Perry wants it presented. So this isn't about, you know, winning a football game, bud.
I don't understand. Why would you let them try and win?
Do you know what the job of a prosecutor is?
Yeah, to put a guy in jail.
No. The prosecutor's job, the prosecutor is duty-bound to seek justice. The defense attorney, of course, is ethics-bound to represent the truth as well. But a prosecutor isn't supposed to, quote, win. A prosecutor is supposed to make sure that justice is done. So if halfway through the trial, this prosecutor were to say, you know what, the evidence that we're uncovering here shows that Casey Anthony didn't kill her daughter. In fact, there's no way she killed her daughter, and we're going to drop all charges. That's what they should do. That's what they prosecutors, and that's what a great many district attorneys and prosecutors have done down through history. On Saturday, Perry threatened Jose Baez with contempt of court and halted testimony by defense witness William Rodriguez when it became apparent that Rodriguez was offering testimony which wasn't in a report submitted to the prosecution. The omission of his opinion regarding the duct tape on two-year-old Kaylee's remains violated procedural rules implemented by Perry at the outset of the trial. Baez is representing Casey Anthony, the Florida woman accused of murdering her daughter. She faces the possibility of the death penalty. When the trial resumed today, Ashton asked that Rodriguez not be allowed to return to the stand until Tuesday to give prosecutors time to study his deposition. So they want to get some information on this guy. They want to find out more as to this individual in case there's other surprises coming along. Ashton also said he would request sanctions against another witness. His report contained no opinions and thus gave the prosecution little information. He said he needed time to depose that witness. Blah, 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 blah. If the judge approves sanctions, they could have ramifications on Baez's legal career. Now, Jose Baez said this after the trial, or after the day in court. It's not bad enough that he wants to omit these responsibilities in the efforts of taking a human life. He wants to go after her lawyer, too. I think it's repulsive. I think it's not under the law. He lashed out at Ashton, saying he had ample time to depose expert witnesses. So these guys, Jose Baez is a guy, if you know anything about him, he's got a prominent law practice in Orlando, Florida. Casey Anthony heard about him when she was in the lockup in the Orange County jail from other inmates. And the word came down to her that the guy was good. And this guy takes cases, apparently, whether you can pay him or not.
Right, because you want to get a publicity.
Probably, yeah. He might be in over his head here. No doubt he's in over his head. He's got somebody that's so guilty. I mean, if he doesn't see it. And this Casey Anthony, if you've been, you know, you ought to go into some of this evidence they've got. They've got just volumes of evidence on this woman. And they have a thing in Florida called the Sunshine Law, which means you can look at all of these conversations that took place in the jail. You can hear phone conversations. You can hear the arrest tape is there, the interrogation tapes, everything. And what you're hearing, if you know psychopaths, you know that they love to play people. They love to control people. They love to be able to orchestrate the dance. It means they have control. And if they have control, that's good for a psychopath, because otherwise they have no feeling, they have no emotion, and they're out of control in this world. They don't get it about the rest of us. They don't understand our feelings. They don't understand why we react the way they do. All they know is they want what they want. And if there's a little kid in the way, well, hell, you strangle the kid and you kill the kid and you carry the kid around in your car till the body rots and you're going to hot body contests at Fusion and then coming back out of the club and getting into your car with the rotting corpse of your daughter in the back. Do you understand that this is evil?
Man, you're kidding.
No, man, I'm not kidding. This is not just some chick. This woman went off to hot body contests at Fusion, and then she went off and got a tattoo, and then she went off and did something else, and then got back in the car with the decomposing body, the rotting body of her own daughter in the back. And she went off and had a ball. This is not a human being. This is what I call an anti-human. This is not a sick person. They're not crazy. They're psychopaths. They have no conscience. They have no conscience. If you think about that, go to Hollywood with that script. We open up with a girl coming out of a nightclub, really hot looking. She's just been in the hot body contest, and she's got a guy with her, and they get into the front seat of their car, and they start making out, and the guy notices a rank, foul stench, and it is revealed as he turns around, he sees the rotting body of this woman's daughter in the back, and the girl is saying, "Oh, what's wrong?" She doesn't get it. That's what you got with Casey Anthony. Okay, so don't even worry about it. All right, folks.
Well, so you think she's guilty?
What the hell do you think I'm talking about?
What do you think he's talking about?
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, you're going through all kind of...
No, man, I don't think she's guilty. Yes! Anyway, go through some of this evidence, man. You can go through it. You can look at it. You can listen to it. She played. So what I was going to say is these people are all, you know, they're control freaks because they like to play people. And if you watch this woman playing her brother... Her mother, her father. She's got her brother running all over Hell's Half Acre looking for this person, that person. You know, okay, I won't say anything because she wants to keep it quiet from the cops because the cops aren't on her side. But this one cop is, but this person isn't. She's got her brother buying into this crap. This poor guy is running around looking for phone numbers and people. What state? Where do you think they are? Her mother, the same thing. Her mother thought that this woman, this so-called Zieta, this nanny, was in North Carolina somewhere with the kid. The father, they're all... She's playing them all, man. She's loving it. You can see it on these tapes. All the while, she was carrying around the decomposing body of her daughter in the trunk of her car, but she's playing the hell out of these people. So, anyway, the thing will continue tomorrow.
You watch that on your iPhone?
Yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, I watch it on my iPhone. And folks, you can not only watch that on, if you have an iPhone or iPad, you can watch the Phil Henry Show live streaming video on Puffin. It's a browser you can download, as well as Skyfire. And that's where that's at. And for people who ask about, you know, why don't we get a Phil Henry Show app? I'm not paying Apple. Do you understand? And I'm not getting an app for a number of different reasons. Number one, first of all, most apps are cheap. Number two, most apps continue to change, constantly having to update them, constantly having to download this, that, something else. I'm not going to go through that, man. I'll let Skyfire and I'll let Puffin do it. I'll let Apple do it. I'm not sharing money with Apple. Period. New York Times wants to do it, that's fine. The New York Times, they put a firewall in, so you have to subscribe to their content. Well, you know what? The New York Times is not offering anything that anybody else isn't offering. The Phil Henry Show offers something that only we can offer. So I don't need to be splitting money with Apple. And it ain't going to happen. And if some people are in such a bloody hurry, man, that they can't go and use the different browser as opposed to Safari, just go over to Skyfire or Puffin and download our stuff that way. If they're in that much of a hurry, you're that much of an Apple geek, I don't know what to tell you. Amy Winehouse has canceled part of her European tour. Apparently the singer will not be able to perform because she's a drug addict. She's messed up. We'll get into that. As well as NBC cutting Under God from the Pledge of Allegiance during a TV broadcast, and then, of course, they apologized. And who's this other freak that was making gay cracks? The guy that was in the bird outfit? I can't hear you. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show. So Amy Winehouse is a popular singer. I personally think she's a great impressionist. I don't think she's a singer so much as she does impressions of American-style blues singers. Because I don't give a damn what anybody says. When someone goes, "Is right, you get for that bond, I'm going to get a little better." And then they sing like, "I had to go down to rehab." I mean, like they're right out of Storyville. That's not a singer, that's an impressionist. In any event, the news that Amy Winehouse has canceled part of her European tour is a, quote, blow to the fans patiently awaiting her comeback, end quote. Seeing the reasons behind the cancellations, however, makes for a heartbreaking confirmation. The embattled singer doesn't seem ready for the stage and appears to be on the losing end of her battle against sobriety. She's on the losing end of her battle against sobriety, which means she's becoming sober.
What?
That's what that sentence means, written by the LA Times. Here is Amy Winehouse as she appeared on stage in Belgrade Saturday night.
God.
You ever smoke, Wolf?
All right. Boy, that's
sound pretty good to me.
It was great. What are they complaining about?
I don't know.
I paid top dollar for that. In one YouTube clip, the singer stumbles through Just Friends. Her eyes heavily glazed, she can barely stand upright as she rattles off a band introduction as she slurs the lyrics to the track. Sounds good to me. Winehouse reportedly ended an alcohol rehab program in London 2 weeks ago, and local media reported that alcohol had been banned for the tour. Winehouse was booed, both for her poor performance and her tardiness, and she's canceled appearances in Istanbul, where she was scheduled to perform Monday. I'd cancel a performance in Istanbul if I was stone cold sober.
Yeah, me too.
So I think that's a good move there, Amy. And in Athens, another good move, according to the Associated Press.
Why say that?
I don't know.
You just want to be mean.
Yeah, I just want to be mean. That's it. That's right, Robert. I just want to be mean. Oh, why don't you give it a rest, okay?
Why would you say that?
Who cares? All right, so in any event, Amy Winehouse, she canceled in Athens, according to the Associated Press. They lie regularly, but I'm sure that that was the case. And then she was scheduled to appear in another city, but whoops. Winehouse is scheduled to appear in Bilbao, Spain. Where the hell is that?
Let me see.
Give me that, will you? Where is B-I-L-B-A-O?
Bilbao.
Bilbao, won't you please come home?
Yeah.
All right. Winehouse is scheduled to appear in Bilbao, Spain on July the 8th. The tour was scheduled to wrap in Bucharest, and when I say wrap, I mean rap.
Cut it out, man.
All right, so I'm sorry. Anyway, Winehouse, she's in a world of hurt, man. Despite feeling sure that she wanted to fulfill these commitments, she has agreed with management that she cannot perform to the best of her ability and will return home, the statement read, adding that she feels that this is the right thing to do. Enraged audience members walked out on the singer, and the term hard-earned money couldn't be truer for her Serbian fans. Tickets to the show cost about 40 euros, $57. That's a pretty penny in the country, where average salaries are around 300 euros, $428 a month. That's the average salary in Serbia. I paid my weekly salary, $57, for this concert, and I knew of her troubles, but the organizers should have canceled it to let us, her fans, remember the real Amy, said Bojan Petrovic, a 35-year-old teacher from the southern Serbian town of Mukotola Batajetako. So there it is, man.
What a mess, man.
Well, she's not the first person. Look, the alcoholism is a disease that affects every profession. And, well, what am I saying?
Yeah, you know as well as I do, man. You're an alcoholic in the music business, man. People know it.
Well, of course. They know it in any business. She's an alcoholic? She's an alcoholic. What do you want me to tell you? I didn't do it. It's a bad scene, man. And the problem with being an alcoholic is people never get well until they hit that proverbial bottom.
What does that mean?
It means everybody has their own bottom. I mean, it could be... I'll give an example. I quit smoking when? When I went to the hospital with pneumonia. Now, that was my bottom with smoking. I'd had a lot of bad colds, and I had bad bronchitis, and I couldn't breathe, and I was, let's face it, I'd stop being very athletic. But the minute I got put in the hospital with pneumonia, that was my bottom when it came to smoking. You know, that was it for me.
Yeah, but we're talking about booze.
I know we're talking about booze, and that's even doubly tough. What is the bottom with booze? It's getting arrested. That's what I say. Either you wind up in jail, you wind up in a nut house, or you wind up dead. And you don't want to wind up dead because that's the bottom of all bottoms, you know. If you wind up in a nut house or in jail, you're still alive.
Yeah, but you're in a nut house. You'll never get out.
What do you mean you'll never get out?
You'll get out of the booby hatch?
Yeah, you can get out of the booby hatch. It ain't called the booby hatch anymore. It's a place where people go who need to get help, you know. Well, on that note, that's our booby hatch music, man. We've got to push the eject button, baby, on this gig. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz, technical director, is Dan Northcraft, with our associate producers Fred Scotty and Rick Johnson. PhilHendryShow.com for all of your Phil Hendry needs, our live streaming video, and of course, Backstage Pass, baby. Get your Backstage Pass and subscribe to all of the marvelous things that we have to offer at PhilHendryShow.com. We'll see you tonight. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And remember, the Fox and Friends appearance is off. Apparently, the radio hosts that were in their Radio Rumble were so bad that they've canceled the entire segment, and I never had my shot. Sorry, but, you know, that's what they get, man, for booking
Mike Gallagher.
Mike Gallagher. We'll see you later. See you tonight.
Phil Hendry.